I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner. A weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This week I had a great question from a listener who asked, since an apostle is a special witness of Christ, do they have to see Jesus to become an apostle? Or are they called and then they see Jesus? Or is that just not a requirement? Now, that's a fascinating question. Both the current apostles, those of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the current dispensation, and the original apostles during the time of Christ were special witnesses for Jesus. Of the original 12, 11, not Judas, of course, probably all saw Jesus before and after his resurrection, although we don't know that for sure. Paul was probably an exception. It's unlikely that he saw Jesus during Christ's lifetime. And it's likely that he only saw Jesus for the first time on the road to Damascus. Now, we also have discussion of other apostles, for example, Barnabas. We don't know. Barnabas maybe didn't see Jesus before or after the resurrection. We don't know. Perhaps he did. What about modern-day apostles? Have they actually seen Christ? Some we know have. Others, if they have not said so. Some have specifically said they have a testimony of him, but have not physically seen him in this life. These are questions, the answers to which I've discussed from time to time, that have been posed by Latter-day Saints and posed by people from other faiths as well who are fascinated by the calling of an LDS apostle. And all of these questions deserve some serious consideration, thought, and answers. One of the main points that I'd like to start off with here is that all of us, everyone listening who believes in Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior, especially those who have made covenants to take upon themselves the name of Christ, are to be witnesses of him. All of those who believe he's the Savior should be witnesses of his life, teachings, death, and resurrection. I consider myself to be such a witness. In my patriarchal blessing, I'm told to study the earthly life and teachings of Jesus. I've done this diligently from my teenage years, which has been a great blessing. I've never personally seen Jesus. I may never in this life, but I consider myself to be a witness of him. Many of you listening, no doubt, also consider yourself to be a witness of Christ, even if you haven't seen him. So in what sense is an apostle, in these latter days, a special witness of Christ? And what does it mean to be a special witness? Apostles are, after all, more than just a regular or ordinary witness of Jesus. They are rightly viewed as a special witness. Let's talk now about what that actually means. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, apostles are called of God to be special witnesses. They are called of God. That alone is something worthy and special. It is a holy calling. By virtue of that calling, apostles are placed in a position to be special witnesses of Jesus to church members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in particular, and of course, to the entire world. They are to lead and guide the church and its members. These are essentially the same requirements that existed in the early Christian church to be an apostle. Is there any other criteria or criterion? I'm not aware of any. The apostles are called and ordained by God through other apostles. Notice I've not mentioned that they must literally see Jesus, the resurrected Christ, to be a special witness. Some certainly have and actually describe the experience. Others may have and have not talked about it, keeping it sacred and to themselves. Maybe some others have not. Now, there are different views on all of these things and the requirements, but for those who want to take the time, you can read for yourself that every single person, take a look in the Doctrine and Covenants, can see Jesus and know that he is. This is not something just reserved for apostles. Now, I want to talk for a minute about some specific statements from apostles and members of the First Presidency who have said or directly inferred that they have seen the resurrected Christ. The first one I wanted to mention is President Faust, who stated specifically at a state conference that he had knowledge of Jesus, that he is Christ, just as the brother of Jared had knowledge, and that it was no longer a matter of faith, it was knowledge. Elder Bruce R. McConkie, at a state conference, said that whenever he died, he would not have any greater knowledge then that Jesus is the Christ than he did at the moment when he was speaking in state conference. Other similar statements have been made by different LDS church leaders. One of the most fascinating of these is one made by President Lorenzo Snow. When Allie Young, the granddaughter of President Lorenzo Snow, was a young girl, she used to visit her grandfather in his office at the temple. One night, while walking out of the temple with Allie, President Snow suddenly stopped. He stopped Allie in the hallway and told her about his heavenly experience in the temple. The following statement is excerpted from The Lord Needed a Prophet, which is kind of a cool book if you can find it. It's out of print. Quote, President Snow suddenly stopped and said, quote, wait a minute, Allie, I want to tell you something. Allie listened intently as her grandfather told her of an unforgettable experience he had once had at that very place in the temple. Quote, it was right here that the Lord Jesus appeared to me at the time of the death of President Woodruff. He instructed me to go right ahead and reorganize the First Presidency of the church at once and not wait, as had been done after the death of the previous presidents, and that I was to succeed President Woodruff as president of the church. Close quote. President Snow then held out his left hand and said, he stood right here about 3 feet above the floor. It looked as though he stood on a plate of solid gold. Still speaking in hushed, reverent tones, President Snow told Allie that the Savior had an appearance so glorious and bright that he could hardly look at him. President Snow put his right hand on Allie's head and said, quote, "Now, granddaughter, I want you to remember that this is the testimony of your grandfather, that he told you with his own lips that he actually saw the Savior here in the temple and talked with him face to face," close quote. The exact reference for that is Susan Harrington Madsen's book, The Lord Needed a Prophet, pages 82 and 83. Stay tuned. This is Religion Today. I'm Martin Tanner. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this or any other broadcast of Religion Today, or if you just have a question in general, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond. I'm a couple of weeks behind now in responding to emails, but I'll get to your email as soon as I can. I do my best to answer every single email. When we took our break, we were talking about examples of church presidents and apostles who have actually seen Jesus, and I've given you a few. Here's another direct quote, this time from Elder Melvin J. Ballard. Quote, "When I was doing missionary work with some of our brethren laboring among the Indians, seeking the Lord for light to decide certain matters pertaining to our work here, and receiving a witness from him that we were doing things according to his will, I found myself one evening in the dreams of the night in that sacred building, the temple. After a session and a season of prayer and rejoicing, I was informed that I should have the privilege of entering into one of those rooms to meet a glorious personage. And as I entered the door, I saw seated on the raised platform the most glorious being my eyes ever have beheld or that I could ever conceive existed in all the eternal worlds. As I approached to be introduced, he arose and stepped forward, extended his arms, and he smiled as he softly spoke my name. If I shall live to be a million years old, I shall never forget that smile. He took me into his arms, kissed me, pressed me to his bosom, and blessed me until the marrow of my bones seemed to melt. When he had finished, I fell to his feet, and as I bathed him with my tears and kisses, I saw the prints of the nails in his feet. It was the Redeemer of the world. The feeling that I had in the presence of him who hath all things in his hands, to have his love, his affection, his blessings, was such that if I ever can receive that of which I had but a foretaste, I would give all that I am, all that I ever hope to be, to feel what I then felt," close quote. That's a quote from The Faith of Our Pioneer Fathers, pages 226 and 227. It should also be noted that we have recorded right in the Doctrine and Covenants that Sidney Rigdon and Oliver Cowdery also saw Christ, as did Joseph Smith, not just one time in the Sacred Grove, but many times thereafter. I should also mention that I personally know a few individuals who have actually seen Jesus. I've heard their descriptions, and I do not believe that they made them up. I can say it even more strongly. I don't believe they're capable of making up the descriptions they gave me. These are not people with special callings. They're ordinary people. And it's because of that that I have tremendous belief that many of those passages in the Doctrine and Covenants that talk about the availability for all who are worthy to see Jesus' face and know that he is. It's true. It's absolutely true. So that brings us full circle. Is it a requirement to see Jesus to be an apostle? I'm unaware of any doctrinal basis for that. Have many modern-day apostles and prophets seen Jesus? Absolutely. Can other people as well? Yes, of course they can. I wanted to bring up one other subject in this Religion Today broadcast, because one of the reasons that these kinds of questions often come up is because there's a question about whether or not the apostles and presidency of the church today is essentially the same as it was in the early days of the church, in the times of the Restoration with Joseph Smith, or in the times of the life of Christ and the original apostles. The concern is that somehow things have changed. Maybe the church isn't quite what it was or isn't led in quite the way it is. I have something very serious to say about this. I've been invited to speak on this topic and feel very strongly about it. Joseph Smith made a number of statements about this. He said that if you stay with the records of the church, you will have a key to know that you are following the church that is being led by God. Here's a direct quote. "I will give you a key that will never rust," said Joseph Smith. Quote, "If you will stay with the majority of the 12 apostles and the records of the church, you will never be led astray," close quote. William G. Nelson published that in the Young Women's Journal in 1906, which was an official publication of the church at the time. Here's another one from the Approvement Era, January 5th, 1902, quote, by Ezra T. Clark, quote, "I heard the prophet Joseph say he would give the saints a key whereby they would never be led away or deceived, and that was the Lord would never suffer the majority of his people to be led away or deceived by imposters, nor would he allow the records of the church to fall into the hands of the enemy," close quote. Here's another quote, this time by Edward Stevenson from 1989 in a book called Infancy of the Church, quote, "A key by which you may never be deceived is that a majority of the saints in the records and history of the church also will remain with the church," close quote. Now, while all these quotes, as you can tell by the sources, were made decades after the death of Joseph Smith, all of these individuals personally knew Joseph Smith. These were all independent sources for the same basic idea presented by Joseph Smith. And in addition to that, there's a specific need for Joseph Smith's statements on the subject not to be dismissed. Multiple sources all converge together to show that these are real statements and genuine truths. Now, here's another fascinating one. Melvin J. Ballard in conference in October of 1921 made this fascinating quote. "In connection with the rise of that great work of our Father in the last days, he declared a new thing that was never declared to any other dispensation from the days of the fall of Adam, namely that the work of God in that day would not fail It should not be overcome. Neither shall it be left to another people. These are two wonderful promises. Now here he is essentially paraphrasing from two sources. One of those is Doctrine and Covenants section 101, verses 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. And this is an amazing source. This is a fabulous, fabulous source. What's the other one that he's paraphrasing from? Doctrine and Covenants section 90, verses 36 and 37. I hope you've enjoyed this little discussion about what it means to be an apostle and how everyone can essentially have the privilege of seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.